for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, September the 1st, 1989. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn Miller is the teacher of the morning. But this morning I have felt to take two subjects that we need to be aware of, we need to understand, that I generally use in about 10 minutes, and here when I get up to take the offering or something. But I'm going to put it together here this morning, and it's Be Ye Holy to start with, and then we're going to end up with intercession. So we'll put these two together this morning and make a morning study out of them. To start with, we will go over to 1 Peter and start in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Peter says that I am to gird up my mind. I'm to do it. He says that you're to do it. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does he mean by that? He means to take dominion over your thought life and over the things that your mind does to you or can do to you if you allow it to. He means that I am to take control of what my mind retains and the things that I keep there. And I have found that our mind has lots of things that gets into it and that has gotten into it over the years. And I am responsible for retaining it or discarding it. And if you retain it, your subconscious will record it, the computer will record it, and unbeknownst to you, these things will suddenly appear on the screen. You're saved and got the Holy Spirit, but this garbage will show up. The Lord, Peter's telling us to take care of our mind so that these things are not there. So how do we do that? Peter doesn't tell us that right here. But I'm going to tell you how to do it. You take the blood of Jesus and wash your subconscious mind with the blood of Jesus. You wash out the filth. And when these things come to your mind, immediately you take dominion and authority over it. You say, in the name of Jesus, I take dominion over that. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse my subconscious mind of that thought, whatever it might be. And you wash it out. And you do that two or three times to that, and it will disappear. And then sometimes your mind will play a trick on you and make you try to remember it. Don't do it. Don't do it. See, the Scripture says that that we're desperately wicked, and who can know what's in us? And this stuff comes from that we've either inherited it or we have allowed it to come there. And most of us have allowed it to come there, not intentionally. It has come there since you were a small child, things that you've heard, things that you've seen, and you have recorded that. And you were not aware that you needed to discard it and get rid of it. So today, we need to discard and get rid of all of this trash that's in our subconscious minds, that's recorded in our computer that God gave us, and we need to replace it with the Word of the Lord. We need to replace it with praise and worship, and with that which magnifies and glorifies the Lord, and that which will help us to live holy before the Lord. things that we've been involved in that come before our mind, come before us as we from time to time, we need to put the blood of Jesus and ask the Lord to forgive us. Say, Lord, forgive me for that. And then you say, I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse that from my subconscious mind. I remove it with the blood of Jesus and take it out and take it out of our minds so that it will not torment us. Some people are tormented with their thought life. And you can overcome that by putting the blood of Jesus against those things when they come up. You take authority over them. You take dominion over the things that torment you. And nobody else can do it for you. Oh, we can pray for you and help you in certain areas. We can help you. We can help you in areas where you have a problem, that there's a demonic spirit there that you need to get rid of. We can help you. But a lot of the time, you can help yourself more than somebody else can help you. You can help yourself by learning how to take authority and dominion over your thought life. And when you see something that as you're driving or walking or something, or see something, happen to see something on television, you've seen it, it's entered the eye gate, and it's not right, lust or some other thing, take dominion over it right now. Don't let it have a chance to take dominion over you. You become the one who takes the dominion. You are the priest. So therefore, it's necessary that you be the priest. If you're the priest, then be the priest. You're the temple of the living God. Then if you're the temple of the Lord, then the Lord says to keep his temple clean. So then you keep the temple clean. I keep the temple clean. And if we do that, we will eliminate most of the problems that we have that we need deliverance for. And even the areas of inheritance that we've inherited because of our ancestral problems, we can learn to take dominion over those and take authority over. Well, anyway, it goes on to say here that we're to gird up our mind. I'm to do it. You're to do it. The loins of your mind, and to be sober and to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord is being revealed to us as we study the Word of the Lord, as we understand, as we listen to teaching. The Lord Jesus is being revealed to us in a greater degree than we knew Him yesterday. When this camp meeting is over, we should have a greater understanding of the Lord Jesus than we had when we came here. As we listen to the teaching and that which comes forth, as we apply it to ourselves and as we hide it in our hearts, we should have a greater understanding and revelation of the Lord Jesus than we had yesterday. And then he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. He says that in our ignorance, before we knew better, in our ignorance, we were bound into things of our own lust. But now then we know better. So now we're to do different. We're to change our ways. It's up to me. Being saved, we are being saved. A lot of people say, I'm saved. Yes, you're saved to the degree that you understand and know today. But we are being saved. The word salvation is a continuous thing. It isn't a one-time, just that's a stamp and it's done. No, salvation is a continuous thing until a full salvation, till we receive a full salvation. And so we can be tempted and bothered and troubled, and Satan will do that to us to try and cause us to lose the salvation that we have. But we are to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves after our former lust, but changing from glory to glory. He's changing you and he's changing me. As we desire the things of the Lord, then the Lord will change us. He's changing me daily. He'll change us all this weekend. We all will be changed to some degree, to a greater or lesser degree this weekend as we enter in and apply and appropriate the Word of the Lord into our hearts and lives and receive it and make it become a part of me. See, I am responsible and you are responsible to allow the Word of the Lord to become a part of you. as we hear the word of the Lord, as it's taught to us in these days that we're here together, as it's taught to us, that I need to receive it into me and allow it to become part of me, so that it is a living word and not a dead word. It is the word of the Lord is dead unless it lives, and it can only live out of you and out of me. That's the only way it can be a living word, as it lives through you and through me. The scripture says that it's up to us. He says, I give you authority. Jesus said, I give you authority. You go do. In my name, he gives us the authority. And so it's our place to take that place of authority and do it. He said, lay hands on the sick, anoint him with oil, and pray for him, and they shall recover. Now, it's up to us to do that, and then we're to believe that it shall happen. He says, the prayer of faith shall raise them up. So, Lord, increase my faith. Increase your faith. Increase our faith, Lord. Help mine unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. Increase my faith so that these things, when we do these things, we shall see results that we desire. Not hope for them, but then we're not to become discouraged. We are to do that which the Lord tells us to do, and then we're not to be discouraged about it. We're to believe that he's doing it, and then we're to go our way. And if it doesn't happen, I'm a good example of that. I have had a continuous problem for many, many years with bladder stones. I have been a builder of bladder stones. And not just pea-sized things. I build them the size of bigger than eggs, so almost the size of a duck egg. That's the way I build them. And so I've been prayed for by the best of the prayers, and I still got bladder stones. And I was prayed for by one very well-known person and at a convention where we were, and I was writhing in pain he came and prayed for me, and I didn't get any better, and somebody told him about it, and he said, well, I prayed for him once, and he's healed, and I'm not going to pray again. Well, Jesus prayed more than once. And I wasn't healed. I'm willing to pray more than once or twice or whatever. I'll keep praying. If you need prayer more, I'll pray for you more, and leave it up to the Lord after that. So I had to. Three times I've been in the hospital and had them removed, and I trust that I'll never have to have that done again. I'm trusting that the situation is taken care of this time, and the Lord has showed us the cause of the problem, and it'll never return. The basic cause in the beginning was because I drank milk and not water. I drank a gallon of milk a day and didn't drink water, and that was my cause. See, I sinned against my body ignorantly. And it wasn't God's fault that I got it. It was my fault because I taxed my body with too much calcium out of milk and the way that's in milk. I overdid my body and it couldn't handle it. So therefore, my body reverted and couldn't handle calcium. And I'm trusting that it has reverted back so it can handle. But I leave the milk alone, basically. I don't do that anymore. I drink water like I should. If you're prayed for and the Lord doesn't heal you, now the good came out of my problems. Both to the doctors, I was an astonishment to the doctors who have operated on me for these problems. They said they never saw anybody ever, because I refused to take any pain medicine ever. When I came out of the operating room, whatever they used on me in there was the last time I ever took any, every time. And I can truthfully say that I never had any pain. Now, I could make myself have pain because I had incisions 4 or 5 inches long each time. And I could do something to myself that would make me have pain. but I could lay there quietly, and I could sleep and everything, and I had no pain. And I became an astonishment to the doctors and the nurses because they could not believe it. And they wanted to come in and wanted to give me shots, and I refused to accept them because I said I don't need them. And the one doctor told me, he said, you should be crawling the walls screaming for something. And I said, well, I've got too many people praying for me, and the Lord's helping me, and that's my testimony. And he said, well, something's helping you. And I said, well, it's the Lord. And almost every time that I was in the hospital, somebody got saved. I had many different roommates. The Lord seemed to it that I didn't have the same roommate. I had different roommates. And they got saved, or they had people come for me to pray for them. I've prayed for a lot of people while I was in the hospital. Here I was there, you know, having problems, but I prayed for others, and the Lord answered our prayers. So the Lord turned that which to some people might have looked like it was was bad and shouldn't have happened, turned it to His glory. You see, so we need to glorify the Lord in all things. We need to learn to glorify Him, and then He will bring something for His glory from that which happens to us if we will believe that. We can't say, well, the Lord's deserted or left me or something like that, because that isn't true. We need to declare that Jesus is Lord in every circumstance. I declare that He is Lord. I declare that He was Lord. One time in one of these situations, I had no intention of talking about all this. This is clear off the subject of this morning. Anyway, we'll throw it in. Here it is. You got it. One time when I was in the hospital, I had a visit from the prince, from the demon prince of that hospital. And one night in the night, I just happened this particular night that I was in, there was nobody else in the bed beside me. They had taken the man out that had been there and hadn't brought anybody else back. And they'd taken him out that evening, and the next morning I got another roommate, but there wasn't anybody there this night. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with this strange, eerie feeling. And you comes when there's evil spirits that around in airway. You get so you know that feeling if you work in this area that Chip and Irma and I and some of the rest of you are working. You know that, or somebody walks in the room with you and you get that feeling. You know something's not right. Well, anyway, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with this eerie, strange feeling. And when I did, I opened my eyes and I began to realize that the room had a green glow. The room was lit up with a green glow in it. And I thought, you know, I realized that the lights weren't on, and I thought in my head, I wonder what that is. So I kind of looked out the window to see if something outside was shining, and I looked, and then I realized, I was laying on my back, and then I realized that it was coming from over my head. So I looked up above me here, and here sitting right up here over me, just about over my feet, sitting up over me in a great big overstuffed chair, is this prince over the hospital. He's sitting there in a chair right there over me. He's sitting the room like right over here where that air conditioner duct is there. See how it comes out and has that step? Well, there was a step like that in the room, and then the ceiling came across, and he was sitting in that step and into the room. And around him, the room was open. The ceiling was open. And I could he was sitting right up in the ceiling, right up through the ceiling into the area there. And I could see, and he was sitting in this big chair with his hands on both the arms of the chair, just sitting there looking at me. And he had great big eyes, about that big, big bug eyes, with a red dot right in the middle of them. And he had a round face like a moon. It was absolutely round. And he had on a doctor's uniform that he uses in the operating room. He had on the hat and the gown, the green gown and the hat. He had it on, and he was sitting there just glaring at me. Well, immediately I looked at him a second or two, and I looked at him, got a good look at him. And then I understood and I realized who he was. And I started to say, in the name of Jesus. And before I got it out of my mouth, the room was just exactly back as it was supposed to be. He was gone, the green glow was gone, and he was gone. But he didn't like me. And he knows I didn't like him. Amen. And you need to, you know, when you go in a place like that, you take dominion over the area. I had taken dominion. I had prayed for the doctor. I had prayed for the those that were going to operate on me. I had taken the doctor's hand and held his hand before he operated. No, this time I had prayed. I had prayed in the operating room. I refused to let him give me anesthetic until the doctor came in. And the doctor come in and he said, "I hear you want you won't let him give me any anesthetic till I come in." I said, "That's right." I said, "Come over here. I want your hand." And he came over. I said, "You didn't come into my room last night." I said, "So I could pray with you." So I said, "We need to do it now." And he said, "Oh, all right." So I held his hand. Here's all the nurses and all the anesthetists. I held his hand and I prayed for him and I prayed for all of them. And they had me all strapped down, my arm out here like this, you know. And when I got through praying for him, I said, "Okay, gals, go to it." And then, they, you know, they give me the anesthetic to put me to sleep. But I wouldn't let him do a thing until I had prayed with him. And I've done that every time I've been in, gone in. I've either prayed for the doctor in my room before we went to the operating room, or twice I have refused to accept anesthetic until I prayed in the operating room. And so, you see, you need to take that authority. If a situation comes, so you're in that place, then you learn to take the authority. You be in charge. Not allow the doctor, he's eventually in charge. But you're in charge in the name of Jesus. See? And then the angel of the Lord will be there with you. The angel of the Lord will watch over you. And God will honor that which you have decreed in his name. Amen. Well, be that as it may, to whatever good it will do some of you in the future. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then be a testimony to those in the hospital. You don't have to be a blabbermouth. I wasn't no blabbermouth. The only thing I did, every day I laid there and read my Bible. And then they start asking me, you know, you'd ask me questions. One man was going in for a heart operation. And he wouldn't go wouldn't let them take him in until I prayed for him. He was a Catholic man. And he wouldn't let the nurses take him away until he brought him over by my bed so I could pray for him before they took him away. And so you see, you can be a testimony and yet not be a blabbermouth that discredits your testimony. See, you learn, Lord, give us wisdom so that we're not a disgrace. Too long, some of us have been a disgrace and have disgraced our testimony because we haven't had enough sense to keep the zipper zippered. Be more than say. Amen. Well, let's see. Let's get back over here to 1 Peter. See what we're supposed to be studying here this morning. Said, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, I used to read that, and I've read it many, many times. And when I'd read it, I used to think, well, that's nice. And I hope someday I can be holy. Well, that's not what it says. It says, be holy. Doesn't say someday be holy, try to be holy. It says, be holy. Well, how do you do that? You do it every day. To the best of your ability, you be holy every day before those about you and before yourself. Be holy. You say, well, I said something I shouldn't, or I did this, or did... Okay, so you take care of it. Be holy. Say, Lord, forgive me. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse that. Be holy. Be holy. Say, well, I got problems. Well, we're getting the problems taken care of. But in the other areas of our life, let's be holy until we get that problem taken care of, but the rest of us be holy. And I used to look at that and think, that can't be so. That's a nice statement. But I've seen that is a fact that we are to be holy. And I'm to work on it, and you're to work on it. And you're to decree that my life shall be a life that is holy unto the Lord. Not because somebody else says so, or because I was told to be that, but because it is written. That's what it says here. It says, Peter picks this up and he says, because it is written. Now, if it is written, and that's what he said, then someplace Peter had to know where it was written, didn't he? And that's what Jesus used against Satan. Jesus used the fact that it is written. And how did Jesus know it was written? Well, he was the Word. Well, that is true. But I know that he was taught the Word from his youth. And so, in order for us to say it is written, then we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, learning how to rightly divide the word of truth. But we can only do that as I hide the word of the Lord in my heart. And how am I going to hide it there? I'm not going to hide it there unless I study it. I'm the one who has to hide it there. And I can't hide it there if I don't study it. And if I don't study it and have it hidden there, I cannot say it is written. And that's our authority. The same as it was Jesus' authority, it is your authority and my authority. It is written. And so Peter had to know it was written in order to write this. And so he had to know where it was written. Now, tradition has taught a lot out of us that we live only by what we call the New Testament. Well, I find that is a fallacy. Because if that be truth, then there is no New Testament until after we get over into the first book, into the part of the first book of Acts and part of the second chapter of Acts. Because Jesus is still talking in part of the first and second chapters of Acts, you see. But there is no New Testament until the day of resurrection. Everything prior to the day of resurrection is Old Testament. Jesus lived and taught Old Testament. There was no New Testament written until after resurrection. There was actually no New Testament written until after Jesus had descended into heaven. Did you ever thought of that? So when you make a division of the Old and New Testament and make it two books, you're dividing it in the wrong place, because the division doesn't start until after the ascension, because it wasn't even written in Jesus' time. Everything Jesus used and said was Old Testament. And he said it is written, and it was written in what we call the Old Testament. So when you try to separate it and make two books out of it and make that division, you are discrediting the Word of the Lord. Oh, and since I'm talking about that, I'm saying lots of things here that I never had here. But since I'm talking about that, over in the 22nd chapter of Revelations, and the 13th verse, he says, I am Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? That means the beginning and the end. He is both the beginning and the end, and he is the Word. So if he's the Word, he's the beginning of it. He's also the end of it. But he goes on to say, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he says, Jesus talking, blessed are they that do his commandments. His commandments. Blessed are they. That they what? That they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates of the city. So only those who do the commandments have a right to enter in, into the city. Those who do not will be left on the outside. Just as in the tabernacle, you have the division of those who are in the outer court, the multitudes. They will never get in the city. I don't care what you've been taught, though they will never get in the sea. They're saved, they've got salvation, but they will never enter into the Holy of Holies. There is still three divisions, the outer court, the inner court, and the holy place. My desire is to be able to enter into the holy place. That's my desire. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be one in the outer court. I want to be able to enter into the city. Also, while I'm throwing that in, I don't believe that everybody who is saved will inherit or be part of the bride or be part of the body of Christ. I believe that there are divisions and that those divisions will stand in the kingdom, in the time of the kingdom. I do not believe that everybody is part of the bride or everybody is part of the body. I believe that there's the bride, there's the bridesmaids, there's the bridesmen, there's those who came as part of the company, there's those who attended the wedding, and then there was the bride, and then there was the bridegroom. All different groups of people. But I want to be part of the body. I want to be part of that who rules and reigns in the kingdom. That's my desire, whether I obtain to that or not, but that's what I desire to obtain unto. That's my purpose. That's my goal, to obtain unto it. Well, anyway, this goes on here in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." What book? This book. The book. This book. The prophecy of this book. And Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. That hear the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Where are those plagues written? Those plagues are written back in Deuteronomy. And Malachi. And in other books of the Bible, there are plagues written. But the most outstanding ones are in Malachi and 27 and 28 chapter of Deuteronomy, the plagues. And God says right here that God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. So I don't want to take anything away, and I testify that this is the book that is being referred to. So anyway, over here, Peter says that it is written. Now, in order for him to know that it is written, he had to know where it was, and that is in Leviticus chapter 19, where Peter picked up and brought this forward and included in his writing. Leviticus 19 and chapter 2. Is where Peter found this and where it's written. So, turn with me back over here to Leviticus 19, and we will look at that. Moses is writing, recording here, and that's another thing. Since I'm talking about Moses, you'll hear me. If you come back, you'll hear me say this again. I hear people say that the first five books back here is Moses' law, and the law is all done away with, and I don't have to pay attention to that. Well, what law did Jesus do away with? Jesus did away with all the sacrificial laws. He done away with all the sacrificial laws. But he didn't do away with thou shalt not kill. If he did away with all the laws that's written back here, then the law I shall not kill doesn't have any bearing on us anymore. So he didn't do away with them all. And this is not Moses' law. I'm going to read the first verse just to show you, because I've heard too many ministers stand behind the pulpit and say it's Moses' law. And they never qualified it. They left it that way. It's not Moses' law. Moses recorded it as God told him to. And what did God say? Verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." Who spoke? The Lord did. He spoke unto Moses, and he told Moses, he said, "Moses, you say unto the people for me." And why did he do that? because the people asked him to. They said, Moses, you go up on the mountain and hear what God says. We don't want to hear God speak anymore. You go see, hear what he says, and then you come and tell us. They said, we don't want to hear God anymore. That's what they said. And so, because of their rebellion, God was talking to them, just as he was talking to Moses. But they said, we don't want to hear God. So the Lord then said, Moses, I'm telling you, Moses, and now you go tell them, because that's what they wanted. And so Moses is only repeating and only doing what God is telling Moses to do. So it isn't Moses at all. It's just God repeating, or Moses repeating what God has told Moses to tell him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now that's where Peter picked this up. And Peter had to know the book of Leviticus, that it is written here, because he says over here in Peter, in 1 Peter where he records this, he says, it is written. So he had to know where it was written in order for him to pick that up. And the same thing when Jesus was tempted. Jesus knew where it was written when he used it against Satan as the authority. And that's our authority today against Satan. We have the authority today of the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and it is written. That is our authority and dominion over Satan that we have, and that's the only authority we have. But it is our authority, it is my authority, it is your authority. All of us have the same authority to take dominion over Satan. We all have the same authority to do it if you will do it. And God is looking for people to do it. He says that he's going to sit down at the right hand of the Father until his enemies be put under his feet. Well, if he went and sit down and everybody's looking for him to come back in a rapture and come get them all, they're mistaken, because his enemies aren't under his feet yet. So if we want the Lord to come back, we'd better get busy and start putting his enemies under his feet so he can come back. And we're the ones that's got to do it. Somebody else, there's nobody else to do it. We're the body of Christ that's called throughout the nations. We're called to put Satan underfoot so that the Lord can return. We're to put his enemies under, and Satan is the enemy of God and of the Lord Jesus. He and all his cohorts are his enemy. They're our enemy. It's our enemy. And he's determined to destroy us before our time. He's determined to destroy and discredit our testimony. He's determined to discredit the word of the Lord. But it's up to us to see that it doesn't happen. It's up to me. It's up to you. And it's up to us to take that place of dominion and authority that he's given unto us and say, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the captive, your power, Satan, and I set the captive free in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's what you've come here for. And when you leave here, you're to take that place of authority and dominion and to set the captives free in Jesus' name. To bind up the captive and set the captives free. To lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Amen. Every one of you, you need to say, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Get that unbelief out of us. Get that. Irma may talk about this sometime, but we had an incident with a case of deliverance, and the demon, we don't talk to demons. Sometimes they talk to us, but we shut their mouth and tell them to be still. All we're interested in is for them to come out. But this particular demon was talking and said it was his home and it wasn't coming out and these things, you know, but it did. And it said that its name was unbelief. And so it said, I'm unbelief. And so Irma said to it, what do you do? What's your purpose here? And it said, well, I've been here since she was 3 years old. And I'm unbelief. And it said, I kill more Christians than death. Unbelief. It said, I kill more Christians than the demon of death. Why? Because you get prayed for, you're healed, and two or three days from now, doubt comes along and says, the devil puts the symptom back on you and you don't stand against it. And Pretty soon you've got it back again. And you die before your allotted time. There are multitudes of Christians who die before their allotted time because they do not stand against unbelief. 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 Catherine Kuhlman meetings, we've seen thousands and thousands of people healed in the Catherine Kuhlman meetings. And some of them retained their healing. Praise the Lord. They retained their healing. But many of them, multitudes of them, didn't retain their healing. Why? They were healed. They were healed for 2 or 3 days. Why didn't they retain their healing? Because Satan come along in a couple of days and brought the symptom back, and they accepted the symptom, and then pretty soon the whole thing is back, and they've got it all over again. But if they had have turned that thing at the gate when that symptom came back, if they had have said, "No way, Satan, I'm not accepting that. The Lord healed me in that service over there when Sister Kuhlman or whoever prayed for you. The Lord healed me, and you're not coming back." And it wouldn't have come back, you see. So unbelief, the spirit of unbelief, kills the Christians. So Lord, give us a spirit of belief. Well, we're studying to be holy. Leviticus chapter 20, across the page. Verse 7 says, what does it say? It says, sanctify yourself. It don't say God's going to do it for you. It says you do it. You sanctify yourself. Do that by fasting and praying and waiting on the Lord and reading the Word. Sanctify yourself. Wash yourself with the Word. Sanctify yourself. Therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And then he goes on to say, after, to be holy, and that he says, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. So the Lord says we're to keep his statutes. And you can read through Leviticus and Numbers and basically Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and you'll find the statutes of the Lord that we're to keep. We may, before this CAP meeting is over, Chip or Irma or I or one, we will deal with that subject of the statutes that the Lord says we're to keep and what happens to us if we don't keep them. So, some of us will deal with that. So, and he says, you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. And he doesn't ask us if we want to. You know, we don't have a I will if I would like to or what. We don't have a right to do that. Because he says, do them. We're not given, if you'd like to do it. Do it if you'd like to. If you want to, okay, do it if you want. No, the Lord says a flat statement. He says, do it. And if we don't do it, we're sinning against ourselves and against the Lord. And when we sin against ourselves, we open up the door so that we will be cut off. If you die before you reach 70, you're cut off. And there's a reason for being cut off. And God didn't do it. You have allowed it to happen to you because you have not obeyed the word of the Lord in some area of his scripture, which has given Satan a right to your life in that area, which allowed you to be cut off. So we need to find out why we have problems in areas and then take care of them so that we'll not be cut off before our allotted time. My allotted time is 70 years. I am guaranteed, you are guaranteed that unless you get cut off by some by something that Satan has a right to your life. And then my allotted time is 120. And I'm believing for the kingdom by that time. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You going to agree with me? Mama, you agreeing with me? Amen. We're going to see the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. No place has the 120 ever been changed. Nowhere. We're given a allotted life, time of 70, and a promise of 120. And it's not changed. It still stands today. Verse 22 says, you shall therefore keep my statutes and all my judgments and do them. Verse 26 says, you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. The Lord has separated us apart. We are a different people. We belong to the Lord. We are His. And therefore it is required that I and you be holy. Should be our goal in being holy. Joshua chapter 24. And I stand with Caleb, give me that mountain, Lord. And Joshua says in verse 15 of chapter 24, I'm going to read the last half of it. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So how do we arrive at that which God has allotted to us? We decree and we declare that I will serve the Lord. Who has to do that? I have to do that. You have to do that. I will serve the Lord. And so we decree, and we're the priest, today the men are the priest of the house. We don't have the Levitical priesthood, but every man is the priest of his house. So therefore, priest, declare that was for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the Lord hears and honors that as we make that declaration unto Him. Okay, now let's look at a different subject. Isaiah chapter 66. Intercessors. The Lord is looking for intercessors. The 66th chapter of Isaiah is where we will start. Verse 2 says, for all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He who trembleth or hath fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord. He who trembles at the Lord. And verse 5 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Hear the word of the Lord, ye who fear the Lord. So the Lord says that He is looking for those who fear Him, who hide His word in their heart and who fear Him. Ezekiel chapter 22, Ezekiel 22 says, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. What? That I should not destroy it, but I found none. The Lord says that He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap for Him, but He found none. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And that's the truth in America and in the world. Truth faileth. Everything is turned so that they find another meaning for it or something else. Truth faileth. And it's in the house of the Lord that it fails, that it's failing. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. He who turns from evil is made fun of and becomes a prey of the rest about. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. God says that there's no judgment in the land, and it displeased the Lord. But God's judgment is in the land today. It's beginning, and it's going to multiply. The judgments of God are coming in the land. And the prophet of the Lord's going to stand forth and say, thus saith the word of the Lord, and it'll happen in your midst right before your eyes, and you'll see the judgment of God in the midst of the congregation of the household of faith. The prophet of the Lord is arising in the land, and they will stand forth and say, thus saith the Lord, and so shall it be. Amen. And you and I will live to see it. And it will be in the household of faith where it will start before it goes to the rest. And it has started, but it's going to multiply it to a greater degree. And he said that there was no judgment, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. God says that He wonders that there's no intercessors. I praise the Lord and thank the Lord for the intercessors that come to this campground and who come here down early in the morning with Doc and put time in praying and interceding for the meetings and for whatever else is brought up in that time. I thank the Lord for the intercessors. I thank the Lord for the intercessors of the campground here that are intercessors continuously throughout the weeks in between camp meetings. I thank the Lord for the privilege we have of bringing the prayer request Thursday's fasting and prayer day here at the campground. And you need to learn to fast. These people who say, I can't fast, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. You and the devil get yourself separated so you can fast. You can fast. You must fast. It is required that you fast. I'm laying it hard. Time has come. No more playing church. We're down to the hour of the kingdom. We're down to the time when the only way that some of us will stand in the hour, in the days of some of you, in the days that lie ahead, will be by fasting and prayer. It was prophesied to Irma and to us before we ever had this place and before Irma ever even knew of this place. It was prophesied on an airplane over the Atlantic Ocean on the way to Sweden by somebody she doesn't even know who it was. That the Lord was going to have us in charge of a place that would be set up, would be a garrison for the Lord, and then we were prophesied that the garrison would only be able to stand in days that would come by a 24-hour chain of fasting and prayer in behalf of this place in an hour that would yet come on the earth. This was by different people. What is a garrison? It's a place where munitions are kept and where people come for renewing. A garrison. And Irma had to go get a dictionary and look it up later to find out what the word meant. So God prophesied that this place is a garrison. And He prophesied that the day will come when this place will need 24-hour a day fasting and prayer for this place. And it's the same for the rest of you. The hour that lies ahead of us is not an hour for a panty waste. Get a stiff iron poker down your back and rise up and declare that Jesus is Lord. That's the only way you're going to stand in the hour that lies ahead of us. You take the stand. You declare that He's Lord. Because that's what you're called for. Okay. So, in Isaiah 59... Verse 15, let's look for these intercessors. Let's find them. It says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Who? Those who call on the name of the Lord, that He will hear. But we have to call. You have to call. It's nice to have somebody else pray for you, and I appreciate those who do. But we have to pray for ourselves also. God requires that we be faithful, that I be faithful, that you be faithful. He said, But your iniquities have separated you and between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you. What are our iniquities? When you do that which you know better to do, and do it anyway. Look up your dictionary. Iniquity is that which you know not to do, but you do it anyway. And our own doings have separated us from God because we've done that which we knew better to do, but we did it anyway. So, Lord, help us to repent of our iniquities and help us to do that which we know to do and to do right so that His face will not be hid from us and so that He will hear us. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Help us, Lord. Help us to keep our tongue. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. We have a Supreme Court that's supposed to rule with justice. And in many areas, they have not ruled with justice. We have judges of the land that are supposed to rule with judges. And we have multitudes of judges of the land that do not judge righteously. The Bible says you're not to judge by eye, by sight, or by hearing, but you're to judge with righteousness. God, remove them from the bench and give us men that will judge and women that will judge in righteousness, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that'll happen if you pray. That'll happen if you pray. Amen. They don't have to sit on the bench. God can take them off. God says, I put up and I put down. Amen. Amen. They hatch crocodile eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth other eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall become garments, and neither shall they cover themselves with their words. Their words are words of iniquity and acts of violence in their hands. And that is truth in this nation today. And the rebellion in the young people is rampant across the land, and it's because truth has not been declared in the land, and that's the reason for it. The reason we have such problems with abortion and all of that is because from the pulpit, the laws of Deuteronomy, of the sexual laws of Deuteronomy, have not been taught from this pulpit by the pastors of the land, and it hasn't been taught by the people at home to their children, and that's why we've got the problems with abortion and the sexual problems in America today, because the pulpit has failed the church of the living God. Amen. It has failed to teach what God says about incest and about the laws of bestiality and homosexuality and lesbianism. And the curse that comes with it because we disobey the word of the Lord. We are cursed with a curse, and God says we're cursed if we don't obey those laws. And almost every one of you present in here today has in one way or another disobeyed part of those laws. And unless you repent of it, you're cursed. And if you're cursed, then also you're cut off. You could be cut off before you reach 70. So we need to find out what those areas are and to repent of them so that we'll not can have the curse broken from off of us. Violence on every hand. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against authority. Rebellion against parents. Rebellion against schools. Rebellion against everything. Everything's in rebellion. Rebellion against the government. Rebellion, rebellion, because iniquity abounds in the land. Isaiah, Ezekiel chapter 9, I want. Ezekiel chapter 9 says, He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city or the church to draw near every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. So there's somebody that has charge over the church that has a destroying weapon, has a sword in their hand. And behold, six men. Revelations talks about the number of man, six. Here we've got six men. And came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. Every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Where did they go stand? Beside the place of judgment. They went and stood beside the brazen altar, the place of judgment. What was the purpose? Because God is about to bring judgment. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, or the church, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, the women, the boys, and the girls that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Who's marked? Those who sigh and cry between the porch and the altar for the abominations that's in the household of faith. Where's the mark of the beast? I have no problems with the mark of the beast. I have no fear of the mark of the beast. I was taught up through the denomination I was raised in. I always heard about the mark of the beast and that I should fear the mark of the beast. I find that that's not the mark of the beast that I need to fear. I need to fear not having the mark of God, for being an intercessor, for sighing and crying between the porch and the altar for the abominations in the household of faith. That's where I need to fear. I need to have fear that I don't have that mark in my forehead, that I'm not marked by the one clothed with linen with the writer's inkhorn that's sent forth to mark those. I want to be one that sighs and cries for the abominations of the household of faith. I want to be an intercessor for the Lord, that there I will be marked with the mark of the intercessor. And then I have no worry or no fear concerning the mark of the beast. Why? We'll find why. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him through the city, and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity, but slay utterly old and young, maid and little children and women, but come not near upon any man, woman, boy or girl, upon whom is the mark. So, where does the judgment come upon? Where's the wrath of the book of Revelation come upon? It comes upon those who are not marked. It comes upon those who are not intercessors. And it's even in the household of faith, besides the rest of the world. And he says, begin at my sanctuary. Begin at the sanctuary, the house of the Lord. Then they begin at the ancient men. They begin with those who are in authority. They begin with those who are the ones of authority of the church, of the household of faith. And they begin at with the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went and slew in the city or the church. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, and I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? And then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood. There's another study. Israel and Judah are not the same. He plainly says so right there. We too long have been taught that they're all one and the same. And they are not. They're different. The land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. And that, for they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. The Lord has not forsaken the earth, and the Lord does see. And he does know. He said, as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. He went forth and marked all of those who were sighing and crying, who were being intercessors for the household of faith. And then following after him was those who slew all of those who were not marked. And they were all together at the same place at the same time. So the Lord protected those who are intercessors. The Lord protected those in the time of judgment. When judgment came, God's hand of protection was over them, and they were protected, and the destroying angel did not destroy them. Just as the children of Israel, who are our examples, were not destroyed when the death angel passed over Egypt. The blood was their protection, and they were not destroyed, but the firstborn of all the others were. And that is true here. To those who become intercessors in the times that lie ahead of us, when the day of judgment comes, God's hand of protection will will cover us and protect us as we intercede for the body of Christ and for the rest. Intercede for those that are without them, outside the city. Be intercessors and sigh and cry for the household of faith and for the world. For Jesus said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So we are to be intercessors for the world. But we are to be intercessors. You are called. God is calling you. If you've never heard this before, you're hearing it today. And from this day forward, you are responsible to become an intercessor. To fast and to pray and to be an intercessor for the body of Christ and for the world. From this day forward, it is your responsibility to be an intercessor for the body of Christ. Revelations chapter 7. Revelations chapter 7. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. The sea represents the multitudes of people. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And we are earth also. We are the temple of the living God. This is the earth that I'm responsible for and you're responsible for. And But he cried, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till I have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So God says that his servants, those who are walking after him, following after him, hiding the word of the Lord in their heart that they'll not sin against him, that he is sealing them, that they're sealed in their forehead with the seal of the living God. Chapter 9, verse 4 repeats this. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of the living God in their foreheads. So evidently, at least part of the household of faith is going to be here during the tribulation, or there wouldn't be any need for him to tell the angel not to hurt anybody until they were sealed. Or if they were gone, there would be no need to seal them in the forehead, because they wouldn't be here to be protected. So you need to look at things. Rightly divide the word of truth. Matthew 24 and 21 says, For then shall be great tribulation, such as were not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say, Unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Oh, by the way, the day is supposed to be the day of the rapture. That's what's prophesied by this prophet, so-called false prophet. He's a false prophet. He prophesied that last year the rapture is going to be a certain day in this month. And today is the day that he's prophesied, I believe it's today, that he's prophesied it for now. A false prophet has arisen in the land that says, Lo, here is Christ, or lo, there he is. Where did I read that? 23. It says, Believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Well, I wonder why Jesus is saying this. If a rapture comes and takes everybody away, why there's great tribulation on the earth and the very elect are still here? Because if they're gone away and been gone in a rapture, then the elect is not here. So why should Jesus tell them that they're going to be here through great tribulation? Let's rightly divide the word of truth. Revelations chapter 2. You know, there's a... Here Jesus says that the elect and the very elect, there are many applications made to that. Some people I've heard it's called eagle companies, overcomers, so forth. I put it all in the same category together. And if God's got a different category for them all, well, that's fine. We'll find that out in time. I just hope my desire is that I become part of that company. Whatever that company is, I desire to be part of it. Amen. That's my goal. That's my ambition, to be found faithful. To those who are faithful, to those who are overcomers, to those who are sealed in their forehead, there is a promise for them. They're called overcomers. What are the promises to the overcomers? Let's look at them. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 7 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, to him as an intercessor, to him who is sealed, to him who overcomes, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So one, we'll be to him that overcomes, we'll be able to eat of the tree of life. Verse 11 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So to the overcomer, to he who is an intercessor, to he who is faithful, he will not be hurt in the second death. Verse 17 says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. So to the overcomer, the Lord says, he's going to give a new name. Verse 25, this is number 4. There are 8 of these. Verse 26 is number 4. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. What is the promise? To rule and reign with the Lord Jesus. To those who overcome, to those who are sealed, to those who are intercessors, to those who overcome and keep his works, he will give authority to rule and reign in the kingdom with him. Everybody's not going to rule and reign with the Lord in the kingdom. Number 5 is over in the 3rd chapter. Verse 5. Verse 5 is 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white linen, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So it's a possibility that our name can get blotted out of the book of life. I don't want my name blotted out. I want to be an overcomer, and I want to be clothed in white. You know, that's one thing that makes the demons mad, too. When you're praying with somebody for deliverance, if you say to them that they will walk in robes of white, and that will just make a demon mad, or you say, I put the blood of Jesus against you, or the Holy Ghost, they just can't stand that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse number 6 is found in verse 12. Says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. We sing that. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. So the Lord will write upon us his name, the new name, whatever that is. And we will be a pillar in the temple of the Lord. Number 7, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcome and have sit down with my Father in his throne. So we will sit with the Lord to rule and reign. It's the second promise of rulership. To sit in the throne to rule and reign over the kingdoms and over the universe. I believe that it's more than just the earth to rule over. I believe it is the universe that God has created. What's out there, we'll find out when it's time to find out. Number 8, we find God's promise to the overcomer. We find in chapter 21. Chapter 21 of number 8. Patricia, I need you. Oh, sorry, dearie, I didn't see you sitting so close. I thought she was in the kitchen. Revelations 21 and verse 7 says, this is 8, the 8 promises to the overcomer. This is the 8th one. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now there is the fullness of sonship. There is the overcomer. Talk about being a son of God, entering into sonship. Well, when we come through all of this, we will have entered into that will be sonship. That is what we're looking for. And we were singing this morning this course, and it is just exactly what all of this is about. Amen. The kingdom and dominion shall be given to the saints of the Most High. Amen. What does it say? It is an everlasting one. And I speak of life, for ye shall never die. This covenant I've made shall stand. Death disannulled by my own hand. And with mercy I will pass over those I've tried. And who are they? Those that are marked and are sealed with the seal of the living God. And that's my desire, to have that seal, so I'll be marked with the seal of the living God, so that the mercy of the Lord will cover me and protect me in the days of judgment or the days of trial and temptation that come upon us. And it says, this remnant seed have I birthed, and can now be seen upon the earth, and the glory rests on the saints of the Most High. Amen. So the Lord is raising up a people who will declare and are declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that there is none other besides Him, that He alone is Lord, and that the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, as we stand forth and make Him Lord of lords and King of kings. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Have no other gods before me, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day." So the Lord requires us to walk before Him and to fear Him and to walk with in holiness and righteousness before Him. Jeremiah chapter 51, Jeremiah 51 and verse 20 says, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider." Who's he talking about? He's talking about you and me. We're the battle axe of the Lord. We're the ones that have to stand up and put Satan underfoot. We're the ones who are to bind him up and break the fetters of chains that bind the captives. We're to set them free. We're the battle axe that the Lord wants to use to bind up Satan and to set the captives free. I'm His battle axe and you're His battle axe, and we are to declare the kingdom of the living God in the earth today. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For He is strong and executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, with fastings and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God." So the Lord says that even now we are to turn unto Him. We are to with fastings and with prayers. And He says that His army is very great. And God is raising an army across the nations of the earth and in this nation. He's raising an army that will not be deterred by the things that we see or hear. We shall declare that Jesus is Lord. We shall put Satan underfoot. We shall march forth, setting the captives free and releasing the prisoners and declaring that Jesus alone is Lord. Psalms 149 says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with a trembling harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people." Who and where? Vengeance and punishment. "To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor hath all His saints. Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah! Praise be the name of the Lord. The kingdom and dominion is given unto His saints as we are faithful unto Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.